Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bishop.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point in the old new digs in downtown, beautiful downtown Odenton, Maryland. And going to do things a little bit differently. Show's running a little bit late this week, but doing a bit of a three-way. Triple P doing a three-way. Power Play Point Podcast doing a three-way. We have not only the regular... our regular co-host, the beautiful, wonderful Anna Knox.
I'm here. Good evening.
But also joining us and also a friend of the show, you've heard him before, a few episodes back, joining us once again with his point of view and his knowledge is Christian Levesque.
Hey, guys.
All right. So how we're going to do this is put some thought into this one. A lot of burning issues with the team. We've each taken a topic that has either cropped up within the last week or has been a major issue with the team all season long. And so we're going to take that and run with it, and we're going to kind of bounce some ideas off each other after we're done with that. But we're each going to address a major issue because, as we all know, this team isn't without it. But another reason why I've got Chris on this week is because I want everybody out there in the Facebook group and in all the other groups that we share the show with, that we're not, you know, we don't want to leave you the Cat fan out. This show is for you. We don't want to leave you guys out in the cold. We want to make sure you're representative. But the thing is, unfortunately, we're not getting any emails. So, I guess I'm going to have to get as many of you involved as I can in other ways. So, my few but faithful, unfortunately, has turned into the loyal yet laconic lately. So, I need to hear you guys. We need to hear more from you, whether it's in the Facebook room or email or whatever. And we're going to lay out the contacts. And I'm sure Chris has another contact he can give out as well at the end. We're going to lay out all our contacts at the end. Make sure you can get a hold of any of us with whatever comment or question you have about the show or that you want addressed by us in the show. So, again, I got Chris on here because I think he's got his finger on the pulse of what Caps fans want to talk about, what they want to hear. So me being the generous guy I am, I want nothing more than to give you that finger. So, we're gonna start in with a brief recap of the game. The worst game, of course, being the Penguins 7-4 loss. Holtby seemed out to lunch. Before that, it was the loss to the Vegas Golden Knights, which they could have had. And then this last one, it was a squeaker they pulled out thanks to Nick Backstrom's goal against the Blue Jackets. So that's where we left off. And of course, tonight, as we record this, it's Friday evening the 6th, and they're recording the 9th, and they're playing in a few minutes puck drop with the Blue Jackets hosting the back end of another home and home. But so that's where we are now. So that's how the Caps are doing now. They're doing okay. They're still leading the division, but they've got problems. They've got issues. And so that's what we're here to talk about. So we're gonna start off here with I think we said that we agreed. Anna, you wanted to start?
No, Chris. Christian's gonna start.
Okay. That's that's right. Okay, so Chris, go right ahead. Jump right in.
All right. So we left off with the Columbus game the other night where Backstrom got his 200th goal. I'm watching some highlights right now. Tom Wilson with that nice fight he got into in center ice. I'm not sure who he got into a fight with. Almost got the Gordie Howe hat trick there that night. We'll talk about that a little later. But what burns me, maybe burning is just, I don't know, not a nice word, is the defensive breakdowns in their own zone. Yeah, we're blessed with these young defensemen. We're more than halfway through the season. I'm afraid. I'm scared. I'm petrified. I'm anxious. There's a lot of anxiety. I'm not feeling it right now. Now we're 53 games into the season, I think we are. And there's still way too many defensive breakdowns in their own zone. The Pittsburgh game from last week was a prime example. We battled back, tied the game up, and next thing you know, we fell apart. The other night against Columbus, it's almost the same exact thing there. What we need to do tonight is come out with some intensity. I know we're on the back end of a home-and-home series against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets aren't a pushover of a team, especially with Tortorella, the Fighting Tortorellas. I was joking with Gil earlier. You can't take them too lightly. Here we are at the end of, going towards the second half of the season, in the second half of the season. It's scaring me. I know there's some talk about Holtby not playing up to what he was last year and the year before, but I took that home with me. I did a little bit of research. I know his goals against average and his save percentage is not as good as it was last year. I know this, but I do think it's a reason. The reason being is because of the young defensemen in the breakdowns playing, or the defensive breakdowns in front of him right now. He is keeping us in close games, but sometimes I feel like he's giving up the soft goal, especially on the glove hand. But at the same time, I contribute that to the defensive breakdowns and young defensemen, the inexperience in front of them. What do you guys think?
I agree. I would love, actually, to not even really sidebar, but I'm wondering when we're talking about the rookie defensemen and whatnot, is there one that you really like this season? One that is standing out? Or do you feel like all, like, Juice, Bowie, you know, we're just...
Well, I was looking at some stats earlier. Sorry. I like Jews. I really like the way he's playing. He's undersized, but he's playing big. I'm not really concerned about how he's playing. He's doing really good. I'm not really satisfied with Bowie, how he's playing. Sometimes it seems like he's regressing. Earlier in the season, I was concerned with Niskanen when he went out. He comes back. I felt, okay, the D is going to play better. It hasn't. There's been some lapses. Drews has really looked good. Carlson and Orpik, some days they look good and some days not so good. So I don't know what the problem is right there. Maybe we need to reshuffle the defensive pairs or what?
That's sort of what I was thinking, to be totally honest, because Gil and I disagree big time with John Carlson. I think that this has been his best season in a while. I think that he's been amazing. He's got the most minutes on ice. I think it's great. I don't know. Orpik is one of the, I don't know, Gil, you'll talk about him in a little bit. But I feel like, yeah, we need a little shakeup on that. On the D line for sure, because it's just it's not. There's some struggles, and I think a lot of it has to do with just being, you know, the young players, and a lot's fallen on Carlson, and it's like, all right, come on, now what do we do? But again, we're so far into the season that it is a little nerve wracking. So I support everything that you said about Holtby too. It's like, it's not all him. Although there are the last couple of games where I'm like, is he really here? Is he really playing 100%? But when you hear him interviewed and you see him on the ice, you're like, you know what? He is a guy that truly goes like 110% every game. So I'm not too quick to throw him under the bus. But I don't know. I think you brought up some really good points, though. I think it's just a little shakeup is needed.
Well, from what I'm seeing, Bowie, yeah, I'll just come out and say it. He's been a disappointment. I expected a ton from him. I expected a lot more from him. I like what I saw when he was with the Bears. I haven't seen any of that. No, not even a flash of that talent. I realize it's his first year in the bigs, and that's a hell of a jump, but it's just not happening for him. And I don't know if he'll pardon me, if he'll be, you know, future trade bait or anything like that, what the long term plans will be for him. But I do like Christian Juice. I think he's to throw out a historical name. I think he is a Kalle Johansson in the making.
Yes.
And I think he's got all of the skill set, all of the talent, and certainly the genes. Son of former defenseman Pear Juice. Yes, that is his real name. We've talked about that before. He's got it all, and he can be that type of quietly dominant defenseman that Johansson was, same kind of mold as a Niklas Lidström. He could even be that level if he can keep working at his craft. So I really think we've got something good with him. But you're right. Overall, aside from him, I am disappointed in the young D-Core. Although I think Taylor Chorney would merit a look. I kind of, a bit of a spoiler alert. Thank you very much, Anna. We're going to talk about his involvement alongside of Brooks Orpik as well. But yeah, I think, I agree. You raise a lot of good points there. And it is a worry. It is a concern. And so much so that they're talking about, I don't know if they're talking about it now, but they mentioned the possibility of bringing Mike Green back. So as kind of a follow-up rebuttal question, I'll first throw this at you, Chris. What do you think of that to shore up the D-Core?
All right. I'm going to admit, I'm a true Mike Green fan. Love that guy. He's a metalhead too, like me. Anyway, former metalhead, sorry. So anyway, I would entertain that if we didn't have to give up any picks. You know, we've given up picks in the past. It's kind of come back to haunt us here. No depth right now. He would give us another offensive threat. He brings experience back there to the blue line. Maybe we need some experience back there with the youngsters. I don't know. I would be anxious to see who would we give up. I'm sure we would give up a lot. No. I personally like it, but I don't think it's going to happen if we have to give up too much for that. Now, you brought up Chorney. I like to see Chorney in the rotation here down the stretch. He's come up big for us. He's only played in 23 games, though. He's got 4 points, a goal, and 3 assists. But he's a +-8 right now. I'd take him. If Bowie is not ready to step up to the plate here going down a stretch, yeah, I'd put Chorney in. Why not?
All right. Sounds great. Anna, do you have any additional thoughts before we wrap up that end of it?
Yeah. When it comes to Mike Green, honestly, I do like the guy. I do. I think he, you know, there's just something about him. He's just a... I like him.
I love him.
The man crush. Well, that's how I feel about Tommy. So we can talk about that. Yeah, total crush. Anyways, I don't know. But again, I don't know if he would be the solution to come back. But I do agree that if he did, he has the experience, and he may need to be the one to come back and help out the younger kids, players. So, you know, if he did, great. But I don't know at what cost. I guess this is what it really comes down to, at what cost. So I don't know. And I don't really think it's going to happen. Do you, Gil?
No.
Think he's gonna,
no, yeah. I agree. And there's some good points made by the both of you. And it really is going to come down to how much is Detroit going to ask for if indeed that is a thing. And he would be, he does add the experience, and it's been said since the training camp broke, yes, they're going to need a more experienced D-man. But, I mean, they did get that in the trade deadline last year and in previous trade deadlines, and the only time it worked out was, again, when they dealt in 89 for Kalle Johansson. That's the only time in my memory, anyway, that it's worked out. So I don't know. It might not be worth it if the cost isn't what the GM is ready to pay for. So that I agree with the both of you. It's really going to come down to that. I don't have anything against Mike Green. I think he's got the potential to add to the game, but it is going to come down to what it's going to cost the team. So, okay, so we're going to wrap up that topic. So, again, to summarize Christian's concern, the young D-Core, the D-Core overall, how they've developed, how they will develop, and how they're going to contribute going forward towards the playoffs and beyond. So good stuff from you, Chris. Appreciate that. So, Anna, you're up. What's your topic?
Well, can we just go back to the Tom Wilson goal, just to throw that out there?
Of course. The fight. Of course.
And my fuck up thinking, I got so excited about this hat trick, and I was like,
oh no!
When you put it out on social media and it's like 10 people are like, you're wrong. It's like, what? How did I miss that? But, that's okay. I admitted my fault. I just got overly zealous for my boy Tommy.
Let me throw something in here though. We're not really, none of us chose him or his play or anything to do with him really as a topic. So I would be glad about that, in that that means he's not part of the problem. He's part of the solution.
Not.
He's not part of the problem.
I would go toe to toe when someone wanted to put him down, because I've said from the beginning,
Jimmy Hockey,
ton of potential. Sorry, Gail, you're going to be on the editing button a big time with me. I apologize.
It's what I do. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm like, you're used to. But I just wanted to just add that. I just thought, you know, he had gone long enough without a goal, and he needed it. And the fight, man, that right hook, and he took that. I love it. Anywho, so my and Jay Beagle, I'm gonna talk about him again. I think he has been awesome, and he's still one that we talk about every once in a while, but not enough. And I just love that guy. My concern is number 65. And I'm wondering if, you know, he hasn't played nearly as much. And when he does, I'm not impressed. But I don't know if it's time for the Caps to let him go. And social media is all kinds of buzz, whereas, you know, I almost feel like it's half and half, and people want to keep him, and there's potential there. And other people are like, hey, we've given you a chance, and it's time to cut our losses and go. And like you guys said before, trade bait. Yeah, maybe. But I would like to see him stay. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I don't have 10 minutes in me to talk about it. What, so you guys can chime in.
Well, so the question that comes to my mind is why do you think he's deserving of more time?
I don't honestly put me on the spot. I'm so tired. I just feel like we have seen, prior to his injury, we have seen the potential there. And I think he was consistent for some games. And I think he does have it in him to really be an awesome player. And then he was injured. And coming back, he just really hasn't been the same. But I don't know if that's necessarily a reason to say, okay, hey, thanks. You know, we're going to trade you. I don't. And I know there are people who think he doesn't need to be on the ice at all, but I disagree. So that's kind of where I'm at. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much.
And what do you guys think?
Chris, what do you think of that? Is Burakovsky a disappointment, or does he deserve a little bit more time? He's been with us a while, but I mean, is the potential still there, or is his time up? Pretty much.
I was one of his probably biggest fans a couple years ago. I'm disappointed. You know, I think he may be a little gun shy. Last year he was firing on all cylinders. He had an injury. He came back. There was a lot of hope, a lot of excitement going into the offseason that he was going to regain that excitement. It hasn't. I don't know what needs to be done. He's got four goals. this season. Yeah. 11 points. It's disappointment. Disappointing to me. I think Trotz has given him enough time. Truly, I think he's given him enough time. Do I think he may be trade bait? It's possible. Do I think we'll probably get a lot out of him? Probably not. Not unless the New York Rangers are hard up to get rid of some folks. I heard they're going to have a fire sale up there soon. But anyway, I've just been disappointed, really. Like I said before, I've been one of his biggest fans.
Yeah.
I've been one of his biggest supporters. But this year, I'm not seeing it. I don't know if it's a confidence issue. If it's a confidence issue, you know what? You're a professional hockey player. You suck it up. You're playing in the world's biggest hockey league. And if you can't come to play every night, then maybe you need to go. That's my 2 cents.
No, and I think actually, Gil, one of our very first shows, we had a very heated conversation about. Sorry, my dog is barking in the background. Bella.
Let Bella go. She's fine. Yes.
She's anyways. So, but it was one of those things where it's like, hey, listen, you know, when the rookies come out, and they don't do well, are we quick to bench them? And it's like, I'm kind of on the hard ass end of it where I say, yeah, because you know what? You were chosen to be in the NHL and you've been playing hockey your whole life and it's time to, you know, give it 100%. So, you know, I get on the, I get on the fence with it because I feel like Barkovsky, Gunshot, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I'd like to keep him, but I'm not dying to keep him, you know, if that makes any sense. And I think there is potential there. And I don't know if it's just going to be one of those things where it's like he just needs to score and have more time on the ice. Who knows? You know, look at Oshie. It's like, there's another guy that frustrates the hell out of me. And he's so good. And then other times he's not so good. And I'm just, you know, frustrated. So that seems to be kind of the word of the night on this end.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Oshie because I thought I read somewhere where the thing with him is he may not be 100% over the concussion issues. And if he's not, why is he out there my question. On top of that, I also read somewhere where he might be having a wrist problem, and that's why his passes aren't all that great, although I believe he was the one, if I remember right, he was the one that found Backstrom for the game winner in the last game.
And that was amazing. That was one of those, I watched that over and over again and that was it right there. But I've heard the same thing and I'm like, God, if you're still not 100% back from your concussion, I don't want to see you on the ice because any little thing could happen and it's so severe. And that's what I don't want because I think he's got amazing leadership. I mean, these guys really look up to him. He's just a good family oriented guy. I've read, you know, his just a good guy all around. I don't want you on the ice if you're not 100%. And like hockey fan aside, just like, you know, person to person, it's like, I want you at 100%. So, you know, I won't put him in the same, you know, thing with my number 65. I just want to see 65 kick it up, but I don't know how much time you give somebody.
Well, so for my part with Andre, he plays big when the pressure's off. So it is a confidence thing. It is a pressure thing. And there's no greater bit of confidence than saying, hey, you are worthy of playing with the top line. And that's where they put him in the playoffs, and you saw what he did for that one game. But he's not gotten back to that, injuries aside. And, I mean, I can see giving him maybe one more year and getting as much out of him as you can. But if he doesn't, I would say if he doesn't hit something like, and I'm gonna set a stat total for him. If he doesn't hit anywhere from 15 to 30 goals next year, in that range at least, then I say it's probably time to cut ties with him because it's time that, I mean, he's been with the club, what, 2-3 years now? It's time to start delivering on that promise. Guy is a first-round pick. Now, another guy that used to be a first-round pick for the Capitals, Marcus Johansson, he took a long time to come around, but after a few years, his game started to develop. I'm pretty sure I've talked about this before, so I can see giving him one more year. So I'm not averse to that, but if he doesn't at least start to deliver there, start showing more consistency, more signs of that talent, then, you know, come trade deadline 2019 or even free agency or whatever, I'm not sure how long his contract lasts. I'd have to look that up, but I'd say give him one more year and then, you know, just, you know, start thinking about going elsewhere with our you know, bottom tier forwards. And yeah, that's my thoughts on that. So we're going to wrap up that topic. So basically, okay. So Burakovsky, yay or nay? I think we're all sort of in the same camp with that. Give him a little bit more time, but not too much more time. Because he, you know, I don't want to call him a bust yet, but you know, he's starting to look like that. But I hope he can work his way out of it. And the sign is there. He can. Okay, so my topic, cat's out of the bag, yes, it's going to be Brooks Orpik, and the reason I feel compelled to talk about him...
The power of Christ compels you!
I haven't been a big fan of his, but I've been kind of a defender of his also, because I have seen the value of his leadership, but I'm going to take... a massive turn at this point, because what I saw in the game against Vegas was nothing short of just a complete and total abysmal effort and just totally letting your teammates down. And what I'm talking about exactly is the game-winning goal that Riley Smith scored in that game to put the Knights over the Caps. And it looked like for a while the Caps were actually going to win that game. And if all you have to do is see the replay on that Riley Smith goal, and what you'll see is basically he's in alone, and you see Brooks Orpik edging into the screen and trying to catch up with him. Where was he? Who was he defending? What was he playing? What was he doing? Where was he covering? Why? I don't know. I just saw that, and honestly, I mean, I hope I'm not being overly dramatic about this, but honestly,
dramatic.
Oh! Campbell just destroyed Unberger! And now this triggers a brawl.
My heart hit the floor. Yeah, you know me. How many shows have we done together?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Feels like hundreds.
Anyway. My heart hit the floor when I saw that. It's like, because it looked like he gave up on the play.
Right.
A leader does not give up on the play. A leader does not go out there and make a fool of himself in front of the rest of his team. A leader does not, in a crucial situation when you've got the game on the line, just completely blow the game. And I got something to say to you, Brooks. If you're a real leader, then you're going to be a man and stand up and say, guys, I can't cut it anymore. I'm willing to mentor you guys. I'll show you the ropes. I'll show you what it takes to succeed. But on the ice, I can't cut it anymore. And if you're a real leader, a real man among men, you're going to do that. You're going to take that step. You're going to show this team what real leadership and pride in your team is all about by taking that step and sitting down. And that's what I think should happen. And I mentioned before that Taylor Chorney should be given a chance. I've always liked his game. He's been a little bit careless, a little bit sloppy in his own end at times, but I think given enough time, that will improve, that will round into form. I think he'll be fine as far as that goes, but what I really love about Taylor Chorney's game is he's got some good wheels, he's got some good speed. He's a pretty good puck handler, and I really think he ought to be given a chance. Let him have Orpik's spot on the bottom two pairing with Bowie or whoever it is they decide to put with him. But I'm at the end of my rope. I'm gonna join the haters, the crowd that says, hey, look, if we could only get rid of this guy, not only would we free up a roster spot, but all this cap space too. Now, that makes sense, but I mean, to me, it's his on ice contributions that are hurting the team. And guy, you're just not cutting it anymore. You don't belong on the ice. I'm sorry. You've had your chance. Be a man and tell the team, look, I can't do this anymore, and help out the team in other ways. But you can't, if you do that during the playoffs, you're costing this team a chance at the Stanley Cup. Do you really want to be responsible for that? I don't think you do. You're the man you say you are. I don't think you are. And I don't know if some of you thought that was harsh or not, but I mean, honestly, I all I can see is him trailing the play, and it not only disappoints me to no end, but pisses me off to no end too. And this team definitely deserves better. And if Taylor Chorney's it, or somebody else that they bring in, Mike Green, I don't care. But Brooks, you got to sit. You're done. You're done. You can't play this game anymore. At least not at that level.
Right. Good girl.
Woohoo!
Right? Gets all kinds of fired up.
Well, I mean, so I mean, what do you guys think? I know, Chris, you've defended his leadership in the past. I mean, what? But taking his recent play into account, what do you think now?
Father Time is undefeated. Oh, sorry. Man, I don't know.
That sounds familiar. Who posted that? I wonder.
No, so I've been one of his biggest defenders the last couple of years. I know why they brought him here to D.C. We needed the veteran leadership back there on the blue line. I'm not a big supporter of him being teamed up or paired up with Carlson. Carlson is averaging, what, 25, 27 minutes a game? Orpik, how old is Orpik? 55? Sorry.
About that, yeah.
He's averaging 20 minutes a game. I'd like to see Trotz limit his ice time later on. Come playoff time, we're going to need that. Now, I'm watching tonight's game right now. I've noticed that Orlov is paired with Niskanen. I like that. Maybe you pair, I'm probably going to catch a little hell or grief with this one, you pair Orpik with one of the youngsters. I don't know. No, he'll probably get paired later on during the game. Right now, it's Carlson with Christian Jews. Maybe they'll switch it up. Sometimes I don't know what's going on in Trotz's head, middle of the game. But I do see some of the mistakes Orpik has made. Sometimes I think he's trying to take the body instead of going after the puck. I don't know. But I do like the leadership he brings to his team. He's got a ring or two with the Penguins, right? He's got the playoff experience. I know we have that. He's got that big contract, and that's going to scare a lot of teams as well. So I don't know. He's got to step it up. I'm with you, Gil. He's got to step it up. But I'm still going to be one of his biggest supporters, and I will probably be one of his strongest critics as well, too. I don't know how you feel about that, Anna.
Yeah, I've never been a huge fan of his. But then when we talked about him at one point, Gil had a point. I'm agreeing with you, Gil, about his mentorship. I know. We should stop the show now.
I got to catch my breath.
I know. It is.
You just stole it. Sorry. Yeah. Go on.
See, now you're going to be cheesy about it, and I'm going to take it back. No, but I think that there is that side of, you know, we do want to see the veteran players. We've spoken about Carlson. We've spoken about Ovi, you know, being there for the younger guys, and that Orpik seemed to offer something. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this last game was, if it's fair, Gil, for you to have so much animosity off of one game, or if you felt that he's been this way consistently.
Okay.
Because I don't think you haven't really gotten that fired up about Orpik. Well, ever.
Okay. So to explain and clarify a little further, my attitude towards him was I could tolerate. I saw his mistakes. I saw some of the things he was doing wrong on the ice, but I could tolerate that because of other things he was bringing to the table. Part of which was he is and was very good on the penalty kill for the most part. But by the same token, the penalty kill has, I don't know, sucked out loud recently as well. So I don't know how much you can put that on Orpik, but he was there for a key clear in the last game. So it's not as if he doesn't bring good things to the game. But when I see things like what I saw in that goal, you give up a game-winning goal. I mean, you're... What happened?
Are you seriously not watching the game?
I'm actually, unfortunately, I am nowhere near a TV right now because of a slight issue with my internet. But so I'm relying on you guys.
Well, Carlson just scored.
All right.
Right. Feel good. I so like him. I
like him too. And between him and Orpik, yes. Let's keep Carlson if we can afford him. I don't like some of his, a part of his defensive game, but if you put a gun to my head and said choose Orpik or Carlson, I would say Carlson for sure.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Always.
I think
Carlson
that he
would
has
aggressive though.
Yeah. Well, that's. I feel like he's a tank. Like, I mean, there's the potentials. You know, he's just really, really impressed me this season, him and Wilson. I'm like, yeah, so we needed, and I'm still waiting. I'm hoping by me saying this next name that he is going to score, Jacob Vrána. That's what I want to see tonight. I want to see Vrána score.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm kissing up to you, but I seem to remember a mermaid coming up to me and saying, watch out for that Wilson guy when he scores that goal.
Yep.
Do you remember that? Do you remember texting me that?
I do.
Wouldn't it be funny if he scored the first goal or a goal and he did?
Right. And he did. And then I when I spoke about Jay Beagle and then he scored in that amazing, you know, less than a second left of the game. So, yeah. So I'm hoping Ron is like my trifecta calling it moment. But I don't know. We'll see. I still like the guy. I think he's got a ton of potential. He's so fast. So I get totally excited. Sorry.
That's fine. So, I think Verona's had not such a bad first year. I'm kind of impressed by him too. He's a little bit undisciplined at times, but that's going to come with experience. So his first year's definitely been better than Burakov's year.
Oh yeah, big time. Big
so
time.
Now we're tied up.
Gave him a goal.
Man, geez.
Dang it.
Keystone Cops back there. Breakdown in their own zone. Who was on the ice for that? Was it Orpik and Bowie?
You know what? I couldn't tell.
Oh,
it was.
My goodness.
They just were showing all the. Let's see who it is.
And this is yet another problem this team has had, hanging on to a lead and consistency.
It was Juice.
I can't tell. Oh, was it Carlson? Okay, I couldn't. Yeah, you know, the way that they. It was Willie.
Hate to mention that, but yeah. So now he's a big fat goose egg for plus minus.
There you go.
Is Carlson. So
But you can't. You're not allowed to put him in the Lars Eller.
No.
Right.
No. He actually had a hell of a game last time. So it was more like the Lars giveth and the he just kept on giving.
Stop.
Another 80s movie.
Now I like Verana. He brings a lot of speed to this team. He's young. Earlier this season, he was one of the among the league rookie leaders in scoring. I know he's dropped off a bit. But the thing I noticed with Carlson, and I noticed this with Oshie last year, was Oshie put up the big numbers. It was his contract year. Carlson doing the same thing. It's his contract year. But I read an article not too long ago where GMBM has said that he's going to make signing Carlson his number one priority during the offseason. So I'd like to see Carlson come back. I like the guy. But I know that there's been some defensive lapses this season. I just wish sometimes he would be more physical, especially in the crease, clearing the crease. I like to see, if it came down to it and I had a gun in my head, it would be Carlson over Orpik any day.
Yeah, what you just said before that, though, is my one knock on his game, because unfortunately I've seen way too many replays where he's standing off to the side of Holtby, and then the next thing you see is him turning around and watching the puck go in the net. And that's what bothers me about his game. But everything else, he's definitely deserving of a top spot. And my only fear is that if he gets his big contract, then, well, you know how that tends to go. Guy gets the big contract, and then everything starts to drop off.
Yes.
So that's a bit of concern for me. But
what was Burakovsky's contract during offseason? Is he getting $3 million per year?
Good question. Very good question. You know what? I haven't pulled up. What is it? All right, so I forget what that site. Cap Friendly is the site. Ever since Cap Geek went away. Okay, so I'm gonna look him up now. Washington Capitals. Okay, so Andre Burakovsky. Yes, you're right, Chris. He is earning $3 million, and that's through next year. So next year is his contract year.
Uh-huh.
So that goes in line with what I suggested, keep him around for a year, which will be his contract year. And then he'll become an RFA at that point. And the great thing about that is even if they let him go, they'll get compensation.
Yes.
So depends on, next year's going to be make or break for him. Now, Carlson, he is sitting at right now just a hair under $4 million. So going to be a little scary what he's going to command on the open market. He's probably looking at some significant salary raise. So we're probably, if they get away with paying around 5.5, I'll be shocked. But he's looking at that at least just as a start. So, try not to get too nervous, guys, but that's what we're looking at in the off season, and there's going to be plenty more where that came from the year after. But Ryan McClellan is smart to make him a number one priority. But veering back to the topic I was discussing, Mr. Orpik, if you think this is just hyperbole or I'm just doing this for show and saying he should sit and sit voluntarily, I'm not joking. So I hope you're not laughing. I'm not joking. Because that would be the ultimate act of leadership. He's got the A on his sweater. That means he's one of three skaters that have been chosen to represent the team in talking to the refs on the ice and in the locker room and elsewhere. And sometimes when you're a leader, what you have to do, the tough thing, you have to be self-sacrificing to show the other team what it takes. And I really do believe that the best, not just to dig at him, but the best thing he can do as a player is voluntarily sit himself out. I really do mean that.
Okay, and you said, you know, you're saying this and you hope nobody's laughing, and I'm not being an a-hole when I ask this. I'm legitimately asking a serious question. Have you ever seen a situation like this where the player has willingly sat out?
Not actually sat out, but I can give you an example. I'll be brief as we're starting to run low on time. Back in the 80s, there was a guy that played primarily for the Maple Leafs named Wendell Clark, and he was suffering through a lot of injuries, and he was known as you'll appreciate this. He was Tom Wilson before Tom Wilson was even
born.
Yes,
he was. Yeah.
And
there's only one Tom.
Well, he was the 80s version of Tom Wilson. He had all of that. He could score, he could fight, he could hit. He had all of that talent. And
he had a cool mustache too.
Yeah.
I was going to say, did he have the porn stash?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Awesome.
And
right.
And so, but he said when he was suffering through all of his injuries, they score again?
No, sorry. Okay. I thought Ovechkin had it, but yeah.
Okay. Boy. Okay. But anyway, yeah, he was suffering through all of his injuries, and he finally said, look, if I'm not 100%, I'm not going to play. If not, I'm not even close enough to 100%. I'll sit because that's the best thing I can do.
Okay. No, I mean, I was asking because, I mean, I agree with you that you would want to say as a leader, you would do that and help out the team in other ways. Absolutely. But I'm just wondering, when it comes to any athlete, has a situation ever actually happened? I mean, where you're like, you know, looking at the situation and saying, you know, this is best for the team. I haven't experienced that before. That's the reason why I asked.
And you're right. And that's because when you're a player, you want, I mean, if you really love what you do and think you can contribute, then you want to be out there. You want to be.
Well, that's exactly. And that's what I'm thinking is like that. If someone is even at some point saying, hey, you know what, as a leader, maybe it's time for you to willingly sit out, that wouldn't be like a fire, you know, under your ass to say, oh my God, I don't want to. I love the sport. I love this team. I love, you know, all these things, that I would then get back on the ice and give it 110% because I don't want to be on the bench. But I don't know. So, you know, it's hard to say. It's, you know, these guys are, hockey is their life. And, you know, and at some point, if you have to say that you're not worthy or 100%, then you're almost kind of looking at the end of your career. And that's not easy to take. So I don't know. I appreciate you sharing the story because that's, I was just curious if it had ever happened. So.
Yeah. Well, it's rare.
Good job, Gil.
it's rare. If ever that it's happened, and that's all the more reason why he should do it, because it will make a huge impact on the team.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see. So I don't think it'll happen. I think he seems like a pretty stubborn guy, but whatever. That's all right.
That's fine. But that's what I think is not, maybe not the major problem, but one that should be addressed going forward. Okay, so we're just about out of time here, but yeah, I think we had a real good discussion here. My co-host here brought up some pretty worthy topics of discussion. I hope everybody out there listening in the various Facebook rooms, True Caps fans for sure, Washington Capitals loyal fan page. Thanks to Dave for letting us post on there. Nova Caps fans also want to give a shout out to them. Hope we've given you some fodder for discussion here, because we really need to hear from more of you, not just on our show, but everywhere, because we are what creates the buzz. We are what feeds the media frenzy. So the journalists have something to talk about and push management and this team towards where they need to be. That's our job. Okay, so if you like what you've heard, do please download episode, leave a comment. That'd be great as well. The site is blueliner77.podbean.com. You can also get us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, just about everywhere podcasts are found nowadays. And if you want to contact all of us or any of us about something we've said on the show, Chris, go ahead.
You guys can contact me at Twitter, ChrisCaps08, or on Facebook at Christian Levesque. I am open to any hockey question, anything related to Caps or hockey. I eat, breathe, and whatever hockey almost 24 hours a day. It's the part Canuck in me.
Oh, see that? I have part Canuck in me, too.
See? Awesome, eh?
Yeah, right? Yeah, I'm Winnipeg. That's where my mom's from.
I got relatives up in, they came originally from Quebec and New Brunswick, that area.
Awesome. Little Canuck bonding. Gil, we leaving you out?
Well, I'm half Korean. That's where the Olympics are, if anybody cares.
There you go.
Anyway, Anna, your contact information?
My contact information. I am also on the lovely Facebook. I think it's just under Anna Knox, and the Power Play Point Podcast Facebook page. And I am on Instagram often, and I can be reached at Aquanox49. And I do have a Twitter account. Yeah, Anox49. So, yeah, and I feel the same way. And maybe we'll get a whole bunch of requests for me to not be on the show, and Christian will take over.
I
no pressure.
I don't think that'll happen.
So it's all good. No, we are super excited for that this three-way Skype call worked, because I honestly wasn't sure if it would. But hey, I had to put in this Skype call, because if I would have left it at three-way, Gil would have.
I wouldn't have.
You would have taken that sound bite and put it like in a loop and just been like three-way. Right?
It's the radio guy in me. I'm sorry.
It is. Maybe. It is. So I'm like, come on. Yeah. So it's all good. But no, we appreciate it. And then I think next weekend, I don't know, are you going to, I'll let you go ahead and talk about that. Sorry.
Let me get my contact information out of the way. You can still reach me at my personal email, GLHALLOWED, GLHALLOWED@yahoo.com. I'm on Facebook a lot in the rooms I just mentioned. Of course, the all new Power Play Point Podcast Facebook room, True Caps fans, Nova Caps fans, Washington Capitals Loyal Fans page. You can find me and
you're everywhere.
And any one of those rooms. I'm also on Twitter at BlueLiner98. That's at BLULINER98. 98 for the Caps Stanley Cup final run. And those are my main points of contact. You can reach me there. So Anna mentioned the next show after this one. We talked about a little bit before, but yes, what we will be doing is a live set. We will be going on Facebook Live. What I'm thinking is we do several Facebook Live sessions, one for pre-show, one for each intermission, and maybe one wrap-up after. It's going to be February 17th. The Caps are
And then we'll all take notice on as we gradually consume more birthday beverages for you. How much more amusing the show gets? Is that really why we're doing more than one Facebook Live?
Well, see, unfortunately, I will be driving, so that there probably won't be any of that.
That's true. But I'll have it for you. I will gladly.
But I'll gladly take birthday. Something home. but yeah, so Mrs. Blue Liner will also be there helping out. Her and the three of us will all be there. It's an 8:30 puck drop against the Chicago Blackhawks. They're on the road. They'll be ending up their Midwestern road swing. We're going to be doing Facebook Live. We're also going to be recording a podcast version as well. So I got to get my SHIT together for that. For as far as equipment goes,
say it. Just say it, please. Just say it. Thank you. And good job,
so Jeff. Yeah, so our next show should be a treat. I hope everybody joins us. Send out plenty of notice beforehand. And again, that's the 17th next Saturday against the Blackhawks, a team that Caps seem to always do well in. So that should be a fun show, I think. All right, great. So I hope you enjoyed this special presentation, the three-way for the Power Play Point podcast. And Chris, we will definitely see you again. Definitely come trade deadline and other feature events down the road, especially come trade deadline playoffs, definitely. So thanks, everybody, once again for listening. Keep downloading. Leave a comment. Tell your friends. If you love the show, tell all Caps fans you know. And
and we got
tell your doggy friends too. Let them join the fun. Bella loves it. Anna loves it. Everybody loves it. So everybody chime
all
in.
Good.
So to all Caps fans in the Commonwealth of Virginia, the District of Columbia, and the state of Maryland, thanks ever so heartily again for listening. And please, gentlemen, don't forget to leave the seat down. Let's go, Caps.
Let's go, Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.